It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We'll just crack into it. What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Chelsea Echo.
What's going on, guys? It's your boy.
Why do you make me sound like Nepenthes?
That's how you sound. Like, you sound like Nepenthes when you do your what's going on, guys? That's exactly what he does.
Hello, guys.
What is the goalkeeper doing?
16?
Easy. Yeah, easy. In my head, it's got easy, easy top three. 16! Oh, dear. Anyway, guys, welcome to the Chelsea Echo. We're all here this week. Chelsea losing 2-0 at Goodison Park to Sean Dyche's Everton, the 4-4-2 merchants. I think they're playing 4-3-3, so he's evolved, which is kind of terrifying. It's like COVID when it hit the second phase. But I think it's fair to say we're only laughing because if you don't laugh, you'll cry, especially with what happened after the game and the past 24 hours especially. Twitter's had a field day, as per. But a fun fact as well. If Everton had not had the 10-point deduction, they would be above us right now. And Everton now won more games than us and the defeats just slipped down to 12th. Fulham and Brentford overtook us. Fulham beat West Ham 5-0. Brentford didn't even play, but they overtook us on goal difference. That is depressing. Why the fuck have you written that at the top of the script, Tom? Why do I want to stab you? Why have you done this? Well,
the script is nothing but the truth. I can't hide the truth. I can try and twist it, but I can't hide it. And that those things did happen. Brentford didn't play yesterday. In fact, this weekend actually lost 1-0 to Sheffield United. But we lost by more, so they overtook us on goal difference.
Stupid. There's a fact that with the whole thing where we said it was only going to be 1 year where Fulham and Brentford were going to be better than us and we'll be fine.
Yep.
Now it's going to be 2 years and a bounce. It just is going to be 2 years and a bounce.
Yep.
I'm looking into the middle distance just because I physically can't.
It's becoming quite hard not to kind of emotionally check out of it again. Obviously still watch, but just not quite with the same, I can't wait to watch this. Because last year, the second half of the season, I just sort of watched and I was like, oh, we're 4-0 down to Maidstone. Oh, well. And I think I'm sort of getting into the stage. If we win this weekend, maybe I'll revert back to normal me. But it's getting to the stage where I'm just a bit like, I need to start distancing myself a little bit from it before it just ruins my entire year again.
Yeah.
I felt very numb yesterday. Like I went in knowing we'd lose and not score. Saw a performance that I knew would happen and we lost. And usually, I don't know, especially not even just a being younger thing, but even recently, you know, when Tuchel was there or whatever, a loss would like sit with you for days, like a week. All you'd want to do is like watch Chelsea play again and get that out of their system and go and win. When we lose to Everton after losing to United, and I just kind of got on with things. I was like, yeah, no, that's shit. But like, I knew that was going to happen. I was prepared that was going to happen. They didn't surprise me in the slightest. And that was that. Like, we're used to losing. Todd Bowley's Chelsea have made me pretty, just used to it. Like this year, I think we won 9 games in 2023. It's December.
That's harrowing. It's the fact that if we lose to Sheffield United, that we will be bottom of the 2023 table. I know that doesn't mean anything to like the grand scheme of things in terms of you're still in the Premier League, like it doesn't matter. But it says a lot about how the club has handled itself over the past 18 months.
Well, it says you're in relegation form. That's what it says.
Yeah. I know we joked last year about the magic 40-point mark and all that sort of stuff. But the fact is, we actually could genuinely, if it stays like this, over the next 2-3 years, be going, magic 40 points, boys. Magic 40 points. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, we're at 19, aren't we? 19. So we're like, we're almost halfway with less than half the season played. So we should be safe.
There's also not 40 points anymore, realistically. With the strength of the league, it's now more like, well, this year I think it's going to be like 20. 25.
Oh, we're lucky that the three that came up are as bad as they are.
Yeah.
Really?
Are we really saying that? I know,
yeah, we are. Everton
are listening, being like, "Oh my god."
Well, you touched on Everton would be ahead without the points deduction. They'd be 4 points ahead. They wouldn't just be like, "Oh, they're ahead of us on goal." They'd be 4 points ahead.
As it is, they're only 6 points behind. They've got a 10-point deduction. They've won more games than us this season. We can go on about this for ages, but you know, it's just that's where we are. Sheffield United is a massive game, which I say every week, but not because, oh, could this be like us getting back with a bit? It's a massive game because it's just we need to win a game. That's where we are at the moment.
It's again, if you don't laugh, you cry. But should we rip this off like a plaster then? Should we just get into it?
Go on then, why not?
Act two, as it's always named, it's the climax of every single pod. You know, it's any good film, you know, if you start at the end and come back to the beginning, and you know, anyway, I don't even know, man. Like, I want to pick up one positive, and that's that I thought Mudrick was pretty good, but
yeah, it was
in
all right,
the grand
wasn't
scheme,
it?
Yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, he just wasn't like overall, just everyone was. It's just that first half, right? You could see it's there. You could see we've got something. But what's so infuriating is it's clear, but it's so far away from clicking. You can see like there's little minute details that need changing. But I just don't even know anymore, man. Like it's just a nightmare. And then what tops it off, obviously, as well, just to go straight into that, Reece James gets injured again. Like, at this point, surely he should just have the surgery.
Yeah.
Like, just have the surgery, end of the season. Just get crack on.
Yeah. Do what I'm doing. Mentally check out. In his case, physically check out. Get that hamstring and just general body sorted. And hopefully next year you can play without a plaster on. That'd be nice. And yeah, he should have done it in the summer, really. Or last season, even when we were just playing for the sake of it. But yeah, it's be important now that Malo Gusto gets back in, because De Sassi cannot play right back.
Yeah, with Reece, it's like, especially someone who's as pretty much any Chelsea fan with a pair of eyes are, you know, big advocates of him and how brilliant he is. It's just getting so relentless. Like I saw a tweet and it did make me laugh, because I really feel for the bloke and going through all these injuries must suck. But someone said, he's the first captain that works from home. And you can't actually deny that. Like, we just don't get to see this brilliant player because his body won't allow him to, and it sucks. But, yeah, I don't understand, even prior to the World Cup, when he didn't go, why that surgery didn't happen, if that surgery is this golden solution. I mean, who knows if it is. This is a hamstring, but he had a knee sort of related injury, didn't he, before, so I really don't know, and I think you summed up well just in saying I don't know where we go from here. Like I really don't, and I think you can question every aspect of this club. Poch is not exempt, players aren't exempt, owners certainly are not exempt. I think every aspect has to come into question. Like, do I think this squad is as bad as how they're playing and where they are? No, I don't. Tom was lucky enough to watch 5 goals that Fulham put past West Ham, Willian even bagging. Fulham lost Mitrovic in the summer. They lost that. I think he scored almost 50% of their goals last season. Marco Silva's got them playing to a point that they scored 3 at Anfield, 5, was it 5? Yeah, 5 against Nottingham Forest, 5 against West Ham, 3 the week before against Wolves. They're scoring goals for fun.
Yeah,
who have they got? They've got Raul Jimenez, who wakes up and doesn't remember his name's Raul. Like, that shouldn't be the case. We've got players that are better than that and can do better than that. So I do think some of it lies in Poch. We're not seeing any. We've said this whole season, we need to see some solutions with low blocks. And I get it. Patience with young players. I get it. Stop feeding me fucking trust the process lines, because I don't want to know. I know that some managers could be doing better. Even looking enviously across at Spurs and how they build up and how they attack. You can laugh at how they are defensively with their high line and whatever, but they play some slick football, having lost Harry Kane and a load of players that I don't look at and think, oh, I'd swap ours for theirs. I don't think that. So at some point, you do have to kind of question.
I think with that, though, like, they don't have they didn't have the sense of pressure I think Chelsea had, purely because Chelsea was so poor. You know, that was Harry Kane. That was it. Their last Spurs are done. Like, end of. Chelsea was sort of like, right, we spent a lot of money here. We've built a new squad. We've done this. We've done that. We've got a new manager in. Like, it's Chelsea Football Club. Chelsea will be back. That pressure was already on the young players. I think for me, like, I get what you're saying about Poch not being exempt. And I agree.
None of them. I want them all held accountable. No, like I said, I don't.
But the biggest problem with that, as much as they all need to be held accountable, the biggest issue lies at the feet of Clear Lake Capital, Lawrence Stewart and Paul Winstanley, because their whole well, Todd Bowley's strategy of, you know, we need to be more collaborative from the start. And I hate it when you go on Twitter and everyone bangs on about Tuchel. Like, it's been and gone. Like, Tuchel's not there anymore, rightly or wrongly, right? But the whole, we need to be more collaborative. We need to have people coming in and working together. Basically, what you're saying is, he needs yes men, to be honest. That's how it comes across. That's how it looks. And what he's done, he said, we want to get the best in class. He's put two heads of recruitment who are very, very evidently out of their depth as the co-sporting directors, which, by the way, in itself, having two sporting directors makes no sense to me. That's one job. Why are we having two people do it? I don't understand that. And then they're going, we want to do this under-25s policy. Now, if you have a football brain, and I know that sounds very harsh, because these are two guys that have been in football for a very long time and did very well at Brighton and wherever they were beforehand, right? You'd realise that gutting an entire squad and filling it with toddlers doesn't work. And I've been saying this to you guys since the pilot. I've been saying it for months. It doesn't work. But lo and behold, they're going to keep banging the drum. We lost at Everton, and I get Everton's a bogey ground. Every Chelsea team loses at Everton. I completely understand that. But at the same time, they don't lose in that manner. It's a, oh, that was a shit one. But like you were saying, times, they'll come back the next week. They'll be okay. We look at this team and we're going, right, Chris Wilder, Sheffield United next. Fuck. Right, okay.
There's I've checked out of Wolves away and Luton away. I'm like, we won't win. We won't win those. So you better win Sheffield and Palace if you want to do anything.
Exactly. Exactly. But then we look at this and you don't have the confidence that they will. Palace have been so poor recently. But I tell you what, if they lose this weekend and Hodgson goes, Cooper's probably going to go in there and they'll have a new bounce. Guess what? They'll probably beat us. Sheffield United, and I think as soon as you see Chris Wilder and Sheffield United, as much as they had a poor second season, that first game back, and again, they're in the new manager bounce period, you're still a bit like, right, okay, he's going to get some sort of tune out of them.
Right, yeah, my worry, I'm sure it's tied into yours in terms of these owners and who they've appointed in every level. Like you said, whether it's a load of toddlers, whether it's people who aren't up to scratch in the boardroom or the director's box or whatever, or the manager himself, like whatever they're doing, I don't trust them to make the right decisions in any regard. So even if I know a lot of people are clamouring for, you know, Poch going, whatever, you can't look at them and think, well, they'll make the right choice this time anyway. Like even if there's better out there that could do better with the squad, and there is, I'm not denying that there wouldn't be managers that could do better with the squad, because I do think we are doing poorly with a squad that could be better. Like even, I know you touched on how much of a mess the owners are. Do you think Everton, like their owners, the one that's just been booted out and then they've got a points deduction on the back of them, Sean Dyche is happily getting more points than us?
But he's got a balanced squad, like a relatively balanced squad. We don't.
No, like, I know, but their owners couldn't even buy anyone. Would you swap Everton's squad with ours?
No, to be fair, probably not. No.
But like, would you swap them?
No.
Do you think Everton have better players than us? Exactly.
No. But
okay, but a few weeks ago...
That in itself is a problem.
Sorry, a few weeks ago, when you were saying... But a few weeks ago, we're saying Iriola could get sacked or whatever. They're starting to cook. All they had to do was turn up against Man United and you win that game. So some of this does lie on the players. It does lie on the manager as well. I'm not going to completely absolve them of any blame, because that Man United performance was a disgrace. Then Bournemouth, 3 days later, turn up and just whoop them. And this is Bournemouth, who Louis wanted to cash in on a manager sacking the other week. But their manager got appointed the same time as ours, and they're developing ideas. They're getting results. They just beat Newcastle, they beat United. They've got a draw with Villa. Villa are in good form. They're seeing development. Spurs are seeing development. We're seeing stagnation. We're just seeing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, Louis, earlier you were talking about positives. I think... It's a bit of a repetitive positive, but I think the only positive for us is that there are still some players to come back. And at the moment, I look at that team and I just think, you know, I hope Nkunku's in Ballon d'Or form, because...
Yeah!
Like, what else are we going to... No. And Palmer's obviously, he's been our best player, but even he can't do it on his own. He needs some help. And I look at a lot of these players and there's a lot of inconsistency, which is classic for young players, obviously. I don't mind if you have a bad game, but you're trying. That's the absolute bare minimum I've always had with players. You know, you've got to run about and try, and at least, you know, and look like you're trying as well. And if you have a bad game, you have a bad game. Everyone has bad games, fine. But then the next week you come in, and we were terrible against United, and then we come to Goodison Park, a game where as Tobes said, I think we all expected this, really, and that I think is a sad indictment of where we are, that we're going to a team who, albeit they're actually not that bad. They're basically a mid-table side, but they are technically fighting for their lives. And we've gone there and just not matched their intensity again. And they've wanted it more, which is a phrase we're using frequently, too many times now about Chelsea. And it's becoming a bit boring, to be honest. It's not even frustrating at this point. It's just boring that you watch a game and you're like, oh, well, it's the same thing as last week. And, oh, we're going into Sheffield United now, who literally are fighting for their lives. And as you said, Chris Wilder's come in, didn't play badly against Liverpool. Actually, if they were a little bit better on the counter-attack, they could have scored and gone 1-0 up, and that's when Chris Wilder's pretty good. And then they did, obviously, beat Brentford this weekend. So you're suddenly like, they're no longer the walkovers they were 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I looked at this fixture and I thought, that could be the game where we actually have some fun and score 3, 4, 5 like we did against Luton at home. And now I'm looking at it and like, oh, just get a win. Just win it. I don't care how. 1-0, 2-1, whatever. Just get 3 points. And the fact that we're all talking about Sheffield United at home as a bit nervous about that one, it tells us exactly where we are right now. And that is extremely sad and quite maddening, to be completely honest.
I mean, yeah.
This is with one game a week as well.
No, that's the thing.
Like,
that's the thing that got to me, because
we're supposed to have an advantage, mate. We've watched Conte piss the league, like, with all the time. Obviously, we didn't expect to win the league. We all said at the start of the season, but we're like, one game a week's good. It means Poch can get his ideas across a bit quicker, and these players will start to get it. They're going in reverse.
I think, but this then I think if you use that Conte example, which one that everyone seems to be using on Twitter, and it's still in my head, in that team and that squad had John Terry, it had Mikel, it had Fabregas, Hazard, Costa.
Okay, yeah. Costa, yeah. William.
Well, big Ange then. He's got one game a week.
Yeah. I mean, but then that team's got...
He's getting 2 goals out of Richarlison. He's shit, mate. He's just shit. He's not, you know... It's not an amazing player. They've got... They're playing at centre-back, Emerson Royale, because both their centre-backs have been missing them. And the way that they build up and you can see them play, they have an identity that you can at least see that's being coached. And you're like, well, you know what? If they improved a few players, because a few of their players are very average players, if they improved for a few of those, they could really be somewhere.
That's the same Newcastle team as well that beat us 4-1 like 2 weeks ago. I know they were at home, but like, come on. And a lot of these teams, you're looking at them, you're like, oh, like Spurs are missing Madison, who is probably their most important player. Mm. Obviously, Son is class, but... Madison was the one who is making and Van der Ven and stuff. And we're missing players too. But you look at Spurs and you're like, but they're still pretty good. Like, okay, they've lost quite a few games recently, but they didn't necessarily play that badly in quite a few of them. West Ham's second half they did, but, you know, other than that, you know, and then they've gone absolutely hammered Newcastle. And Newcastle got so many injuries and they're still competitive and nearly beat PSG away from home. And you're looking at Chelsea and we're just like...
But then this is...
What is this?
Shall I tell you why that is? Because, again, I bring it back to Bowley, to Barley, to Win Stanley, to Stewart, right? If then in those clubs, like we talk about Spurs, right? Daniel Levy brought in Ange Postecoglou and they've got a director of football and he just lets them deal with the football. There's no pressure on, like, there's pressure on them to obviously deliver, but it's like, right, I now steal the business, you deal with the football, okay? They go and do that. Newcastle, they got the fellow that was at Brighton with these other two, and they've got Eddie Howe, and they've got Jesse Till, they've got a great coach and staff, and they've got a clear plan and a clear strategy. It's the same at Tottenham. At Chelsea, when we lose to United, Bowley's walking into the dressing room going, oh, you lot of shit. And then you've got Lawrence Stewart and Paul Winstanley sort of sitting there with their, literally, like the whole thing they're doing, like the whole talent ID, right? You've got a manager that relies on physicality and emotion. And then we are dealing with players that love to tippy-tappy, all that sort of stuff, that don't fit his profile, really. And as much as he needs to adapt, definitely, but there's certain things where he's turned around to him and he's gone, we need to make some signs because our ownership and the guys that are heading up the football are making terrible decisions, both financially and from a football standpoint. And then it's kind of trickling, it's the trickle-down effect. You know, any good business, it starts at the top. The mentality starts at the top and it comes down. If it's a mess at the top, it's a mess at the bottom. And it's just, but we're going to see that with the women's team next year, when Emma Hayes goes, by the way, because the only reason they've been successful is because she's stood firm and she knows what the identity is and they know where they're at. Like, we're going to see it happen to them as well. Because because we've got two fellas here. Well, and Dolly included, that's a three for me and the rest of the board and whoever, who are just going to leave everyone in the lurch. And everyone talking about getting a new manager. It's going to be the same problem because the identity's not there and it's not clear. And the whole strategy doesn't work. The only way this is going to change is if they change. It's literally the only way this is going to change because we're stuck with this ownership for 10 years. They're not going anywhere. That's in the contract. So they've got to change. They've got to realise what they're doing is messing up their entire strategy. It's a mess. The whole thing's a mess.
I don't think you can leave the players blameless, though.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. I just think it, like you said, it does trickle down. It does stem from them completely. But I also do look at our players in terms of, I thought Enzo under Potter looked much better. I think Caicedo at Brighton looked much better. And I think these players are very possession-based. I think Badiashile is another player, comfortable on the ball. Levi Colwill, who's doing overlapping sessions at left-back, very comfortable on the ball. We have a lot of players who, in general, are comfortable on the ball, and we play high-pressing football, and that's why you've seen the prevalence of Gallagher probably as the more standout one, because he's the one that can run around, but he's not very comfortable on the ball. So I almost think the squad that they've constructed and built is designed for someone who plays a style that's more comfortable on the ball, and that's not Potter's identity. It is flying around at 100 miles an hour. It's like, I don't know if they're strategy is completely gone in terms of is it redeemable. Like, yeah, I want some experienced players, I want some leaders in that team, but I also want them formed, and that does come in coaching. I want players who turn up for a game. It's not much to ask, is it? Like, in that United performance, that is down to the coach, that's down to the players as well. Like, we're going to end up sounding like United fans where, you know, Glazers lost 3-0 on Saturday, didn't they? Like, there is also a blame that has to lie at the feet of the people that are playing football and coaching that football, because it is below par for what the standard of the squad is. And I agree with you, they've completely ripped up the DNA of this club that was built on winning. That was our identity. It didn't matter what season we were having, you win something. That was what Roman built. And they, you know, they tore up the fabric of that, and in the process has eroded that mentality. And Emma Hayes is the last kind of remaining pillar of Roman's reign. But players have to take a bit of fucking responsibility as well. Manager has to take some responsibility. I saw even you tweeting the interview Poch did at the start of the season, and you compare that to how he's talking now. He sounds a bit like the boy who lived, or the boy who, you know, didn't live at the end of last season.
Yeah. No, it's that's the worrying thing. That's the worrying thing. And, you know, I mean, I'm nowhere near Poch out, because I think if you do that, you're then going to be in the position of, you know, where do you go from there? Elite manager turns around and they're going to be like, well, you just got rid of him, you just got rid of him, you just got rid of him. We'd have gone through, what, 5 managers in 18 months? Like, my God.
If you're including the great Bruno Saltor's one game.
Yeah, then. Well, that may as well, yeah. Bruno Saltor as well. We would have gone through 5 managers in 18 months.
I know a guy who'd take it, but we'd be in for a fucking ride.
I think me and you have both been saying it. Do you remember? Do you know what's mad? Should we just say it at the same time? Right, okay. 3, 2, 1, Louis Benaventi. Sorry, I meant Jose Mourinho, same person.
No, I don't actually want it. I can see it. I can see these lot from a mile off. Last season, they fucked it with Potter. They got that wrong. They're like, okay, shit. Fans are really against us. We need to get them back on side. Bit of PR. Let's get Frank Lampard back. That's what they'll be thinking. They're like, we might have got this wrong. It's gone all toxic. They've gone and had a crap Christmas. We're 14th, 15th in the table. Shit. Mourinho, cover it up. Mourinho and John Terry is his number two. And look, I'm not sat there and, you know, we're going to have our club biases. I'm not going to... There's going to be a part of me that's like, I'm kind of up for that. But then there's also a part of me like, Mourinho in 2023, I don't know about it. But I can see it. I can see them doing it.
Him with those directors of football, can you imagine?
No, but they might have to, they might have to swallow a bit of their, and also there's a little part of me, I was trying to look at the positives of this, because I was like, I really don't back it, and then I'm like, he could make boys into men, like he could give, and he'd say it how it is.
That's the thing, it'd be at both levels, he'd get the players stepping up, but he'd also be able to tell the board, no, we're not signing Juan Cruz Malia da Silva Jr. because he's 7 and he comes out of the streets of Paraguay. We need someone who's actually ready to step onto the field now And I can just imagine that in Jose's voice. Anyway, I think it could be quite good. I genuinely think it could be a good thing. But I'm also not rooting for it. But I'm also not, in my head, I'm thinking, could that actually work?
Exactly. I want Poch to have solutions, but I'm warming to that idea because I just feel numb inside and it would make me feel something.
Yeah.
I want to feel like it looks like Chelsea and he's like a remaining pillar of that. I also, the only other one that's in my head, and there's not a fucking chance he'd leave where he is, but if you're throwing around billions and on some kids, what's another, few million thrown at Diego Simeone? Because I've always looked at him, I'm like, you're a bit of me. You're a bit of Chelsea. There's something... Yeah.
He'd never leave me.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I'm like, you can make them into men. You can just defend for your lives and be a horrible shithouse team. And it would feel more like our club because these guys have made it, they've made it not feel like Chelsea. And that's the biggest issue with this. You feel detached.
It'd be horrible to watch Simeone coming in. We would literally, imagine us playing Everton now, Sean Dyche v the Argentinian Sean Dyche. Like, my God, it would not be fun.
It'd be beautiful,
man. We would win games.
Imagine Arteta crying his eyes out after we've like Simeone'd them. Like,
Simeone on the touchline, I mean, giving the bollocks thing where he just grabs his cock and his face.
From the current team now, who do you think Simeone would turn into the biggest bastard?
Enzo Fernandez. 100%. Enzo Fernandez.
He's the obvious answer. But
I actually think De Sassi.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I could see De Sassi turning into a proper like
even
Rudiger Cucurella, but on steroids, just like
even
proper.
Cucurella, I think would be a bit like,
and Levi Cole, you know, Levi Cole would be an angry bastard. We already is an angry bastard, but
we are too nice and it's not Chelsea. I like my evil villain, you bought the league, you did, I want that, I want tears.
That's actually when I was sitting there at Fulham and you're sitting there and pretty much every chant they've got is about Chelsea and you're just like, we're fucking massive, but we're also so shit at the moment. And it's just like, how do we get back to being the team that everyone looks at like, oh, fuck. Whereas now everyone's like, yeah, God, let's fucking play Chelsea because we'll get a chance to beat them. And you know, I just want my club back.
Do you know what's really mad about the whole situation with Jose Mourinho? And I shared it with you boys before I was unceremoniously released from a place which will remain nameless. I sent you a clip of something I said in April about a certain manager. He's called it twice. James Ward-Prowse, Jose Mourinho. I just know bull. That's just the thing. I just know bull. But,
I watched Ward-Prowse yesterday. He was shit.
Yeah, I've seen West Ham fans moaning about him recently.
Oh, listen, it's fine. Don't worry. He'll come good.
Although, apparently West Ham had a bug yesterday, which is why they looked like they literally couldn't run. Because they got absolutely hammered.
Lasagna.
God, we've had a bug for the whole year.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, but I mean, anyway.
Do you know what the worst thing about this is? Is that we're terrible, and I can't even blame Cucurella because he's been one of our better players.
Well, I mean, let's round off the pod because we've gone off a little bit. Went off on a tangent. The whole pod's been a tangent because the review was
but Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea related tangent, session. So it's allowed.
We needed a therapy session.
That's what this was like. The review was like we were shit in the game. Yeah. Breuer was a bit meh, a bit disappointed by him. Nico Jackson.
Mudryk took a few players on. Oh, Jackson tried to strangle someone. He didn't get banned. I don't know if that's good news or bad news at the moment. But
I mean, look, let's just look at this, right? We were talking about how many points you need to stay up, right? Say we have a good run, right? Conference League's on the table. Because that's realistically where we're looking at, because Champions League's long gone, right? Need about, 60 points? Probably for Conference League when I was looking at it earlier. Probably 55, 60 points, right?
No, we need to win the Carling Cup. That's what we need to do. Carling Cup gets you Conference League and that's our best route now. I honestly do believe that. We're in the quarterfinals, get through Newcastle and you never know. That's your best route.
Conference League. I like it. See, do you know, I said it again in the summer.
And win a cup. Let's win a cup. Let's do something.
Exactly. But then do you remember when I said, beginning of the year, I was like, Conference League, you know, I'll be happy with that. Look where we are.
I it'd be quite fun going to like Macedonian Wi-Fi teams and actually winning another trophy, and then we really have won it all. We can and also yesterday West Ham kept singing Champions of Europe. That would be quite fun, shithousy, to sing Champions of Europe again with the fucking Conference League. I'd enjoy
it. And
that.
we would be the only team in the world to have won everything.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's it, lads. Conference League, here we come. Carling Cup. But guys, anyway, that has been your, let's just call it a therapy session about Chelsea losing 2-0 to Everton at Goodison Park. If you have enjoyed this, please do make sure that you tell all your friends and family. We actually had, I'm gonna give him a shout out. There's a fella, I've forgotten his name, I need to find it, but he listens to the pod, and he sent us, after our review or our preview a couple of weeks ago, he sent us the images of the giraffe with George Bush during 9/11. So big shout out to him. What a fucking legend. So if you can get us some images of what it should look like in the boardroom at Chelsea versus what it's currently looking like, please do. But yeah, guys, please tell everybody about the Chelsea Echo. We are growing consistently, and it's all thanks to you guys. We really do appreciate it. Follow us on the socials. And yeah, it's been a Highway 61 Network production. I didn't think I'd forget that. Don't worry about it. Take care, guys. We'll see you later. Ta-da.